welcome everyone to this inauguration ceremony of the inauguration of the 14th Master and for the admission of Fellows. It's a great pleasure to introduce and welcome the Master-elect, Fellows, guests and the CR Executive, and of course for those who are watching this in the garden room, to all the people there as well. If I read the statute for the election of the Master, it will probably put into context the importance of this particular ceremony. And this comes from Statute B, the Master. It states in the statutes and ordinances that the Master shall have a general responsibility for the affairs of the College and shall preside when present at all meetings of the governing body and of council. He or she shall have the power in all cases not provided for by the Charter, or by these statutes, or by the ordinances, or by resolution of the governing body, or by regulation made by the council, to make such provision for the good government and discipline of the College as he or she shall think fit. Before entering into the office of Master, it is for the Vice Master to arrange a meeting of the Fellows, the members of the Association of Junior Members, and others as appropriate, convened for by the Vice Master. Before I hand over to the Prelector, who will invite the Master-elect to come up to read the declaration on the card, I would like to introduce Matthew to you by reading his biography. Matthew Bullock has a long connection with Cambridge and the university, where he read history at Peterhouse. He was a member of the university's audit committee from 1999 to 2012. He was a founding member of the Judge Business School Advisory Board and its longest serving member from 1985 to 2002, and chairman of the advisory board of the ESRC Centre for Business Research. He has recently served as non-executive director and chairman of the Audit and Business Development Committees of the Cambridge University Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, or what we term as Addenbrookes. In 2013, Matthew was appointed chairman of the Transforming Pathology Partnership, a joint venture between six NHS trusts in the East Anglia region to combine their pathology services into a single organisation. In the early part of his career, whilst at Barclays, he was heavily involved in the Cambridge phenomenon. His experience in the technology sector resulted in his appointment as chairman of TAP Biosystems PLC from 1999 to 2012. Matthew Bullock is a 1596 Foundation Fellow of Sydney Sussex College and also a trustee of Cambridge Past, Present and Future. He has an honorary degree from the Anglia Ruskin University as well. Matthew has a long and successful career in the financial sector, joining Barclays Bank in 1974, where he rose to regional director in Leeds and director of risk management and group senior executive. Prior to leaving Barclays Group in 1998, he was managing director for 5 years of BZW, or Barclays Capital. From 1998 to 2011, he was Group Chief Executive of the Norwich and Peterborough Building Society. During this time, he was also Chairman of the Building Society's Association. He is a graduate of the Advanced Management Programme at the Harvard Business School and a Fellow of the Chartered Institute of Bankers. Matthew was previously on the governing board of the University of Leeds and the Council of Imperial College London, and was formerly chairman of the International House Trust, a language school charity based in London. Matthew was a member of the UK Cabinet Advisory Committee on Applied Research and Development during the mid-1980s. He also sat on the Department of Trade and Industry Industrial Development Advisory Boards for both Yorkshire and nationally, and was involved in the early development of policy on industrial clusters. Matthew also has close connections with the University of Oxford. His father, Lord Alan Bullock, the eminent historian, was Vice Chancellor of Oxford University and Censor of St. Catherine's Society, and led to an ambitious campaign of fundraising and development, resulting in the transformation of the society into St. Catherine's College in 1962. When he was elected its first master. Matthew was educated at Magdalen College School and is a governor currently. Matthew is married, and it's great to see his wife and family here. He has two daughters and a son and lives just south of Cambridge in the village of Great Chesterford. When he was elected at the governing body meeting in February, Matthew said, "I'm delighted and honoured to have been elected to serve as Master of St Edmund's College. I look forward to working with the fellows, students and staff and the wider college community in taking the college forward through its next stage of development." The previous master, Professor Paul Luzio, who stepped down earlier this week on the 30th of September, said, "I congratulate the fellowship on the election of Matthew Bullock as the next master. I am certain that he will provide the college with the leadership required for its future growth, whilst at the same time maintaining its historic values of friendship and collegiality. May I, as Vice Master of St Edmund's College, add my congratulations to that of the previous master, and behalf of the fellows, junior members and staff warmly welcome Matthew as the 14th Master of St Edmund's College. I now hand over to the Prelector to call up the Master-elect."
Mr Matthew Bullock.
I, Matthew Bullock, elected Master of St Edmund's College, do solemnly declare that I will observe the statutes and ordinances of the College, will discharge to the best of my abilities the duties of my office, and will endeavour to the utmost of my power, without fear or favour, to promote the College as a place of education, religion, learning and research. Well, here we are. I have to say I am enormously honoured and humbled by the trust that you, the fellows, have shown in choosing me, and I shall do all I can to warrant it. The more so because I think you've made a surprising and unusual choice, selecting someone with a business background as against somebody who had came from the world of academia, scientific research, civil service, or diplomacy. And I have to say, it's 40 years since I came to Cambridge in 1967, and it is unthinkable that somebody with my background would have been in this position today. So much so that when I told my brother Nick, who is a Don at King's, he said, "I'd better find out why they chose you." And I have been making discreet inquiries during my induction into the college. One thing that came clear to me very early on was it was not because the college is in need of some sort of managerial turnaround or governance overhaul or business input. Despite outside commentators' views, my own experience on University Audit Committee and on other governing bodies is that, with a few exceptions, university departments and colleges are effectively managed and directed. Certainly this one is. Paul Luzio has left me what they say is a pretty tidy billet. The college has certainly had its moments in the 10 years of his tenure, but he, assisted by Richard Anthony, have put the finances on sound footing, the administration seems to work very effectively, and exciting plans have been developed for the immediate future. and I'd like to take this opportunity to pay tribute to Paul for the good state he has left things in, and for the most gracious way in which he's passed things over to me over a series of tea time discussions in his study. So, if it's not that task, then what have my inquiries elicited? Well, I think I see four broad tasks lying ahead. The first is the execution of plans which have been drawn up, particularly the next stage of building our student accommodation. This is a very important piece of work, and one of the things that I've learned in business is it is important how you execute things as how you conceive them. I'm reminded of the story of the physicist and the engineer walking down the street. They saw a building on fire, and the physicist went in first, saw the fire extinguisher, said, "Problem solved," and left. Whereas the engineer had to go in and actually take the fire extinguisher off and put the fire out. I've had many years of boring commercial engineering and repetition, and that has certainly prepared me for execution as much as planning. So execution of these plans is a prime task. Secondly, raising new capital, particularly in the form of donations. Pressure on shared spaces in the college is already there, and will only grow as we expand the student accommodation, particularly in the hall and the combination rooms. These areas are less income generating, and so that the options are really to raise donations rather than debt. And we are at a scale, I think, as a college, where having some more financial reserves feels necessary. So pulling together a fundraising story, developing the relationships with the donors, organising the approaches, making the pitch, negotiating the close is the second big area of work, and one on reading the college's history I see that I have been sharing with all my predecessors. This has been a role of all masters at this college, and I should take that one with a sufficient amount of training, I think, from my investment banking days to perhaps try and pull that off. The third task is less clearly defined, but it seems to be something like helping to define what we want to be when we grow up, or life beyond growth. Anyone looking at the college's recent history has to be struck by the very rapid growth in student numbers. And let me just recite them. In 1970, there were 40 students at St. Edmunds. By 1980, it had grown to 90, more than double and a half. By 1996, it had grown to 200. By 2000, we were up to 250. And by 2010, we were up to 491. And in 2014, we will admit 505 students. So from 1970 to 2014, we have gone from 40 to 505. At our current size, we are now a smaller, medium-sized college. At the potential 650 that may flow from our current accommodation building plans, we will soon be a solid, middle-ranking college, bigger than Christ's or Emma, with our site growing close to capacity. We may therefore be coming to the stage where we have to develop a different view about what we will strive for beyond growth itself. Colleges are not like businesses with a single overriding goal. Their narratives are developed at many levels, and growth will not stop, though it may no longer be so rapid. But going from big bang to satisfying steady state, drawing together our heritage, our youth, and our prospects into something more exciting than middle age spread is the least defined, but I think the most interesting of the tasks that I have so far discerned. Let me add that the comment was made that your decision to entrust this task to an outsider was born of your own confidence, not doubts. That the college is proud and excited about what it has achieved, and therefore wants to look outwards and to explore new angles and approaches, is a great platform on which to build. And the challenge is to take it further and enrich it, and it is certainly in that spirit that I will approach this task. Last, but also foremost, since this is a college, I will share the task of all the fellows in ensuring that our students find their time at St. Edmunds enriching, enjoyable, and stretching. We have a deservedly high reputation for creating great bonds of friendship amongst a very wide, diverse range of students that endure beyond their college years. I hope we can also stretch their achievements to match that reputation academically. This morning, with the rest of the officers, I welcome this year's new cohort of students and will be taking them through inauguration and matriculation ceremonies over the next 2 weeks. And I, like the rest of the fellows, look forward to watching them grow, stretch, and progress to graduation and then becoming enduring friends and alumni of the college. So that's how I read the briefs thus far. Clearly, if there are other tasks, I don't doubt that at the forthcoming college council meeting, they will be expanded. But this seems to be enough to get along with for now. So again, I thank you warmly for entrusting me with this work, and I shall do my utmost to fulfil your expectations. Now, if I may turn to the Dean to give us a blessing on this service.
By the prayers and example of our patron, St. Edmund, may God, in his goodness, grant to all of us clarity in our thoughts and charity in our hearts, that we might serve him with the rigour of our minds and the labour of our hands. May we put to good use the gifts and skills he has given us, and being delivered from fear of new truth, complacency before half-truth, and pride that would claim all truth, may we seek only that which is good, excellent, admirable, honourable, and worthy of praise, through and by the grace of him, the giver of all gifts, who lives and reigns for ever and ever.
Amen.